That's my grandson. I'm sure of it. Sure of it. Amen.
We fall down, we lay a crown
at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, 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 holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, 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 holy is the Lamb. Well, and we cry. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Amen. 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 We cry, holy is the Lamb. Praise the Lord. We have the blessed opportunity each Sunday to stand in the presence of a pastor that has a word that lifts up. Amen. And we're blessed. And our pastor, she'll be on her way back today, along with Pastor Shirley and a lot of other folks that are at the conference. We want to welcome everybody here this morning. Those folks that haven't been here before, we want to welcome you. Those folks that have been here, no, we welcome you too. Amen. We're glad you're here today. Praise the Lord. Even Jay. Bless his heart. He was just waiting on that. You know, the Lord, if I had a blackboard here, I normally do it. And it's like I don't have it here. But I'm okay with that. But if I had it here, I would be drawing a line from the bottom to the top, and it would be this scriggly-looking line, and there'd be an X at the top and maybe a couple X's along the way, because I'm going to meander, and I'm going to meander through the scriptures a little bit, and hopefully along the way we'll make a few points that'll help you and help me. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is was speaking to me over the last couple weeks and just different things, and you know, the message today that I want to try and convey is one of restoration. And you know, we, each one of us at some stage in our life or multiple stages needs to feel that wonderful restorative word of Jesus. That wonderful restorative presence that brings you back from wherever you were. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's mental. And sometimes it's spiritual, but we've drifted from where we were in Christ. And it takes us to a place that we don't want to be. And we don't want to stay. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to go down through a list of scriptures of places and individuals that God restored in various ways. You know, we know that our God is a healing God. We know that our God is a loving God. And we know that our God is a restorative God, and He will restore you to the place that you were. The neat thing about it, you know, when you lose your job, and I've lost many, you know, periodically, here and there, not many, a few, seems like many, but no. But I've lost jobs before, and you almost, sometimes you have to start back at the bottom and work your way up. Sometimes you don't. But the wonderful thing about God is that when He restores you, He restores you back to the place that you were. Amen? There's no starting over. You just come back and He restores you. Now, a lot of folks would like to see you start back over at the bottom. so to speak. But God restores you back to who you were. He restores you back. And a lot of times we have a hard time comprehending how God can do that and why God would do that. We see individuals, we think, they need to start from the bottom. Because that's the way human beings' minds think. You know, we expect people to have to pay some kind of penance for those things that they've done. Believe me, they've paid penance in their minds when they were in the place that they were at. You know, I'm just going to touch on the scripture of the prodigal son. Carlin, you can bring it up if you want. But the prodigal son, anybody that knows me knows that it, for me, it is just, there is so much in that one scripture that we overlook. So much. And the son asked his father for his inheritance, and he took his inheritance, and he went out. And what did he do? He wasted that inheritance. And he found himself where? In a hog pen. Now, you know, most of us here today don't find ourselves in a literal hog pen, but we find ourselves in places that are full of stench and full of things sometimes that we don't want to be around. We find ourselves eating things and doing things that we don't want to do. And we find ourselves in those positions because we've made a choice that was incorrect. We've made an incorrect decision. And we find ourselves in these places. But the beautiful thing about that story is, when Jesus told it, was that it says the son came to himself and he turned. It says he turned. And you know, it's in the turning where the restoration begins. And you know, as that son started to walk and started to work his way back to his father, we'll read the scripture here in a second, started to work his way back to his father, it said his father had been looking for him from afar off. And when his father saw him turning and coming back, his father ran to meet him. Now you see, that's the beautiful thing about God, is that he will run to meet you, and all you got to do is turn. All you got to do is turn. And in the turning, it creates a restorative process in your life. And as he started to work his way back, God saw him, or the father saw him, and started running towards him. And as he ran towards him, the son's coming back, and the son's thinking in his mind, he's saying, you know what? If I could just be a servant in my father's house, if I could just start at the bottom, I'd be tickled. That would be good enough for me. And all the while, the father's thinking, man, I can't wait to put the robe on him and restore him to exactly where he was at. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. That's a God that loves you. That's a father that loves you. And so as the son's coming, he's thinking, man, if I could just be a servant. And the father's rejoicing, and he's saying, man, I can't wait to restore him to all the fullness that he had. And as they get closer, and as the father and the son meet, and the father embraces the son, and the son says, you know, Father, I've wasted all that you've given me. And if I could just come back in and be a servant in your house. And the father says, get the robe. Get the ring. Kill that fatted calf, because we're going to celebrate my son who was dead is now alive. And you know, we all may have been in different places at different times in our life where we felt like we were dead. We felt like we had gotten away. And I'm telling you that he's watching. He's watching you. And when you turn, he's going to run to you. And I want you to know that's the kind of God that we serve. We don't serve. We don't serve a God who's got a big stick that's waiting to smack you each and every time you mess up in life. But we serve a God who is looking to restore you and lift you up and encourage you and bring you back to who you were. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God who can do what he said he would do. Ah, what a beautiful God we serve. Amen. I think of the we're not going to read that scripture. I've already read it. So his son, praise the Lord, he comes into the house and he's restored. And they're having a party and everybody's rejoicing. And someone, his brother, says, "What in the world are you doing? Don't you know he's supposed to start back at the bottom?" Guess what? Father says, "Now, this my son was dead, and now he's alive. And we're going to rejoice." And his older son is just ticked, and he's upset, and he doesn't understand how someone can be restored from that type of life and be made all the way back to who they were. He doesn't comprehend that. And that's what we'll run into in life sometimes. I think of our pastor, Jack, who just passed away a few months back. He was a drunkard. We saw some folks at a funeral yesterday, and they were saying, "Oh, we knew Jack back when he was a drinker, back when he was a carouser." And people, and they weren't judging him. They were rejoicing in that he was restored. But there will be people that will look at who you were, or look at where you wound up, or look at what you've done, and they may judge you, but you have to know this one thing, that God will always be in your corner. And he will always be defending you. And he will always be lifting you up, because that's the kind of God that we serve. He's a restorer. He's a lifter up. He's a lover. He loves you today. Amen. How do I know this? Jim, how do you know this? I know it because I've been that son. I've been that guy. I know that he restores. I know that he lifts up. I know that he loves. And I know that he defends. And I know that he stands in my corner. I know that. I know that. Why do I preach on the prodigal son a lot? Because I've been that guy. And there's so much in that scripture that just brings me life. And I want it to bring you life. Because some of us may not have went all the way to the pit. We may not have been all the way to the hog pen. But we've had things in our life. We've had things in our life that have caused us to be disconcerted and caused us to be depressed and caused us to be down and caused us to feel like we had no place in the presence of the Lord. But I want you to know that he's watching. And all you got to do is turn. And in the turning, he runs to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We talk about the woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue. It's in Mark chapter 5. I've got a ton of scriptures here. Johnny told me, he said, "Jim, you don't have all day." Before I got started. He's always right on time with me. Yep, Johnny said, "You don't have all day, Jim." But we've got the woman with the issue of blood. And she reached out and just wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And she worked her way through the crowd and she grabbed a hold of that hem and she was restored and she was made whole. You know, all she did was just touch his garment. You know, sometimes all we have to do is just reach out and touch him and we can be restored. And I'm telling you all this, and I'm going to get to a point here in a little bit. Amen. I think I'm making a few along the way. There's the woman that was bent over. This woman was bent over for how many years? 18 years? She's bent over. And all she could see was the ground in front of her. You know, when all you're seeing is dirt, you start to believe that all there is dirt. But when you can be lifted up to where you can see light and where you can see around, then you see that there's more than just dirt. But when you're bent over and all you see is the dirt and all you see are the things on the ground in front of you, and all you see are those things which are bad in your life, then after a while that starts to overcome you and you're bent over for a long time. But I want you to know that if you come to Jesus, Jesus can straighten you up. He'll lift you up, and he'll cause you to see those things which are good. You know, we all the time, I don't know about you, but I know I do sometimes, I can see the things that are bad in me. And if you can't, praise God. But I see the things that are bad in me. And sometimes that bends me over. But then the Lord lifts me up. And he restores me. And then all I see is the good that's in me and the good that's in him. Praise the Lord. The man on the steps, beautiful. When Peter and John were going up into the temple, and the crippled man was laying there and he was begging alms. He was begging alms. And he was asking for money and he was asking for handouts. Peter and John came and Peter looked at him and he said, "Look on me," and he said, "Such as I have," he said, "I don't have anything to give to you, but such as I have, give unto thee." He said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." What did he give him? He gave him a message of restoration. Get up. Get out of that place. There's a song they sing in that movie, Sister Act, or Sister Act 2, or Sister Act 7, whatever it was. Whatever realm it was. But it says, get up out of that place. You know that? I want to learn that for church. Get up out of that place, you know, because I want to be able to do that little jig that she does. I mean, you know, whatever that is. But we want to get up out of that place. And that's what Peter and John were telling this guy. Get up out of that place. Get up out of that crippled state that you're in. You know, we all wind up in a crippled state at some times, whether it be in our minds or whether it be physical. You know, we might need healing, but we also just might need deliverance from those things in our minds that have us crippled and bound up and sitting on the steps begging alms. But Jesus will deliver you from that. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. This is just a prelim. Johnny, I'm sorry, man. We're going to be here forever. No. We think of Lazarus. And you all know the story of Lazarus. He was a man that had passed from the scene into death. And Jesus came along 4 days later and said, "Take me to him." And his sister said, "For sure he stinketh by now. He stinketh by now." And Jesus said, "That's all right. Just take me to where he's at." He said, "Roll away that stone." And they rolled away the stone. And Jesus said, "Now, Lazarus, come out of there." And you know what was going on behind him, don't you? They were all thinking, this dude is nuts. He is off his rock. Because there is no way that guy is coming out of there, because he's already started to... Well, they didn't use embalming fluid. They just put some perfume and spices on him back then to make him smell good enough till you got him in the ground. And it did not preserve him, let me tell you. And so this dude was in the ground, and his sister's even saying, "This guy stinketh." He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said, roll the stone back. Lazarus, come forth. Guess who stepped out? Lazarus comes out in his grave clothes. And he said, get him out of there. And here was a man that was dead 4 days and he stunk. And Jesus raised him from the dead. Why do I tell you that this morning? Because I want you to know it doesn't matter how far you've gone or how bad a shape you're in. God can restore you. You know, I've seen some folks that are in bad shape. I've seen some folks that might have a little bit of stench on them. But I've seen God restore them. Uncle John was, he's not here this morning, but John was down in the hospital back a few years ago and down in Washington, D.C. And Pap and I went down. He was having open heart surgery. That's not like, you know, that's not like appendicitis or something. But, I mean, he was having some big stuff going on there. And they took him into this hospital room, and they were operating on him. And they came out, and the doctor said, this was the doctor. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you should be in there. But he's out here. And he says, I just want you to know that his heart stopped beating. And we're not sure if we can get it going again. So you might want to call the family. Anybody knew my anybody knew my father-in-law? That was just a call to him to say, guess what? Guess what? I take that as a challenge. You're saying he's dead. I'm saying he's alive. I'm telling you what, Pop looked at me. And I looked at him. And we made a call back to here. And he and I looked at each other and started to pray. And the chaplain came out because he was already ready to declare him gone. And the chaplain came out and he introduced himself. And before the chaplain left, he was there praying. And the three of us prayed and we prayed. And the doctor comes out and he says, I don't know how. I don't know how. But his heart started beating again. They had his heart out of his body. I mean, whatever they do. And it was done. And he said, I don't know how. Pastor Jack said, I do. Because that's the miracle working power of the God we serve. He's a restorer. He's a restorer of that which we put before him. Amen. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. And there is no time that you're too far gone. Amen. Amen. We think of Jairus' daughter, Matthew 9. And this girl, the guy comes to Jesus. He says, you got to come. My daughter's sick. You got to come and lay hands on her. And as he's going along the way, guess what he runs into? He runs into a woman. She needed touched. So he got delayed. He finally gets to Jairus' daughter. And what's wrong with Jairus' daughter? She's dead. He goes into the room. Guess what he said? Well, I know what it says he said in here. But I think he said, nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. He went in and he breathed life back into that child. And that's the kind of God we serve. There was a woman. She was being stoned. She was brought before Jesus. She was going to be stoned for being in an adulterous relationship. And back then, that was a penalty of death. And they were going to stone her. And Jesus stooped down into the dirt and he started writing. Started drawing in the dirt. And the people were saying, now we need to stone her. And he looked up at him and he said, "Those of you without sin, cast the first stone." And he went back down, writing in the dirt. And when he looked up, nobody was there. Because there wasn't anybody that had gotten through life without having some sin occur. And so no one was there. And he said, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "They're all gone." And he said, "Then neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." And that's the kind of God that we serve. You know, sometimes we'll be brought before people will accuse us of things. They'll lay our sins in front of God or lay our sins in front of other folk. And we as Christians in Jesus just need to say, "We don't accuse you. We restore you. Don't allow what's being said of you to destroy who you are." Amen. I wanted to get to this. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse number 1. Carlin, you can pull that up. Scripture says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And all those that have gone on before in Christ are just around us. And you can mysticize it. You can do whatever you want with that scripture. But there's a cloud of witnesses around about us. And I think every time I stand here in this pulpit, or every time I pick up a mic to sing, or every time I do something for Jesus, I think of a man that say, "Preach good, boy. Sing good, boy." And you know, those memories of those folks that have gone on before encourage us in our walk with Christ. They lift us up. They help us forward. You know, I've had different experiences with different men in my life that have impacted me. Pastor Jack, there's no words to describe the impact that he's had on my life. You know, we preach a word in this day and age, and we call it the finished work, message of a finished work, and we call it the message of grace. And I think of that, and it seemed like it came on the scene a few years ago, and I'm thinking, man, that's all I've ever known. It's all I've ever known is grace. It's all I've ever known is this message of grace. And I feel blessed because that's the message that was conveyed to us, is a message of grace. And I think of that and I thank God for that I wasn't clouded with other things. Oh, I've been in many churches over the years from the time I was a child. I've been in Church of Christ. I've been in United Brethren. I've been in Mennonite churches. You know, I've been in many, many different churches. But the only message that's ever stuck with me was this message of grace. This message of the good news. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I was thinking about these folks, and I was thinking about Scotty Todd, another individual who's impacted me. And Scotty has gone on into that great cloud of witnesses, and he's passed from this earth into that cloud, and he's in the heavenly places. And Scotty Todd once said, at a critical time in my life, he preached a message. And in that message, what he said was, he said, "You love me because you don't know me." He said, "You love me because you don't know me." And I thought about that, and he proceeded to tell us who he was. He proceeded to tell us that at a point in his life, he was dastardly. He was not a good man. And he gave a description in that service, and I never heard him say that again, but it was in that particular message at that particular time that he decided to tell that particular group of people, "You love me because you don't know me. But if you love me and you know me, then you love me." Yeah. That's grace. Yeah. Because you love me and you do know me. You know, my wife's full of grace because she knows me. She knows everything about me. and she still loves me. And that's grace. And that's the way we need to be with each and every person in this house. And each and every person we run into, we need to love them even if we know them. We need to love them even if we know them. And I thought about Brother Lee Eckel, and that's where I'm getting to, is this cloud of witnesses and those folks that are going on. And Brother Lee Eckel was this little short man, and I'm not exaggerating. He was this little short man with a little bald head and a little round belly. And we would go, he was in charge of the prison ministry, and he came here to this church, and we went into Charlestown Jail, and we went to Hagerstown, different prisons around the area. And I got a funny story, but I'll wait and save that and tell you some time at a picnic about Brother Lee. But we were standing in front of prison bars, and Brother Lee, in his former life, was a rough man. And he'd stand in front of those bars, and he'd open that Bible. And those guys in there with their tats and their gold teeth and their, you know, rough-looking guys. I don't have tats, but if I did, I could fit that bill. And I put my gold teeth away for today. No, when he went into those prisons and he stood before them and he opened up that Bible, and he'd look up at them men, and there wasn't anybody smaller than him. And he'd look up at him, and he'd say, "This book is full of precious promises." And I think of that. When Brother Lee would say, "This book is full of precious," and that's how he'd say it, "precious promises for you." And every time he'd say that, and he'd say it every time, you'd see those big old guys just crumble under the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. Because they knew that he was telling them something that was real and it would give them hope. And then he'd start to quote those precious promises and read those precious promises to them. Because that's what Brother Lee Eckel had gotten out of that scripture and had gotten out of his walk with Christ, that this book is full of precious promises for you and for me. Precious promises. And that's the word. It's precious. Amen. It's precious. I mean, I look at my little grandsons, and regardless of how they're acting, they're precious. And that's the way God looks at us. He looks at us how we look at those children, that we're precious in his sight. And he just loves us. And when we're acting like that, when we're acting ornery, or we get out of line, he still loves us, and he still believes that we're precious. And this book is full of promises to you and I about how good our God is and about how righteous we are. How righteous we are. He tells us that because of his Son, Jesus Christ, we are the righteousness of him. He tells us so that we know that when we turn, as the prodigal did, that he's watching and that he'll restore you to where you were. There's no starting over. There's no starting at the bottom. You just come back and right where you were. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. He's a restorative God. And he brings restoration to us. Now I could get, you know, once in a while I'll shout while I'm preaching, but most of the time I don't. But I want you to know that I'm excited about what God's doing in this house. I'm excited about it. Why? Because he's restoring people. He's restoring families. He's restoring individuals. He's restoring community. Our God is a God of restoration. And I hope that you'll take the time to let this word that he gives to us restore you. Trusting. He will. Amen. Amen. Psalms 24. We'll close, Johnny, with that. Take your time. We got plenty. Take your old time. Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and this King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Praise the Lord. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. He wants to come into your house today. He wants to fill you with his presence. And he wants to restore you to where you were and where you can be. He wants to lift you up. He's a loving God today. And he loves you. Amen. I hope that you understand that we love you too. Praise the Lord. Do you love him today? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Me too. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not very long-winded. Amen. Well, I guess it's all a matter of opinion. But amen. Praise the Lord. Stand with me. Beth, do you know how to play that song, Freedom? Okay. Let's do that. Let's give it a whirl. Amen. I'd like to thank all of you for coming this morning. Look forward to seeing you again. Sister Lisa will be back next week. Sister Shirley, we're excited to hear what they have to say about this week. Amen.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you're tired and you're thirsty, there is freedom.
There is freedom.
Oh, yes.
is freedom. Jesus raised in this place, showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom
where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom when the Spirit of the Lord is.
There is freedom.
Oh, yes.
Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face.
Yeah,
there is freedom.
Come on.
Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy.
Freedom reigns in this place. You may be seated. Will the young people please come and sing to us? And you too, Trish.